WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel pounded Hezbollah targets in Lebanon today. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre as the president traveled to the UN General Assembly.
The conflict along the blue line between Israel and Hezbollah has gone on for long enough. It's in everyone's interest to resolve it quickly and diplomatically, and that's where we've been.
Prosecutors say Ryan Ruth intended to kill former President Trump. He left behind a letter before his arrest in Florida. Manuel Bajorquez reports he'll remain in jail.
The judge said, look, the weight of these charges and of the evidence, I just am not willing to let him out on bond.
A government watchdog is warning the nation's air traffic control system needs fixing. Correspondent Matt Piper.
The U.S. Government Accountability Office report says some air traffic control systems have not been upgraded in the last 10 years or longer. It says the FAA itself found that of 138 systems, 51 of them were unsustainable.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Forbes has named the best employers in the country and in Wisconsin. They surveyed 160,000 staffers nationwide. And the best employer in Wisconsin is Costco. Now, that's headquartered over in Washington. But number two is Kwik Trip, which is operated out of La Crosse. Rounding out the top five were Procter & Gamble, Acuity Insurance, based in Sheboygan, and Bank of America. Forbes says the sixth best employer in the state is UW-Madison. Meanwhile, a group of teachers may form Wisconsin's first private school union. The staff at Toad Hill Montessori in Madison are organizing. They plan to form a union through Office and Professional Employees International Union Local 39. They say they want to be paid for breaks from class and for snow days and a more consistent application of school policies. Meanwhile, the school denies some of the teachers' claims. Their union elections are October 2nd. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. Here's a look at news closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The U.S. Department of Justice is suing two Rusk County towns for not providing accessible voting equipment during the April election. According to DOJ officials, the towns of Thornapple and Lawrence failed to provide equal access to the ballot for all of their voters. Town officials had expressed their distrust in the machines and banned them for the election. The town of Lawrence has reached an agreement with the DOJ to provide the machines going forward, but the town of Thornapple has not reached any agreement yet. Charges have been filed against the two people who modified a car to intentionally backfire, leading to reports of gunshots near a Rice Lake Walmart and two local schools. According to law enforcement authorities, reports of gunshots that led to Rice Lake Middle and High School entering lockdown last week were unsubstantiated. Residents who heard the backfiring modified car had mistaken the sound for multiple gunshots. The two suspects were charged with multiple counts of misdemeanor disorderly conduct. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Green Bay wins back-to-back games with a backup quarterback. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. For the second straight week, Malik Willis guided the Packers to victory, a 30-14 win over his former team, Tennessee. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Willis has come up big for Green Bay.
That is the number one job of the quarterback, take care of the football, and he's done a great job of not putting it in harm's way. And quite frankly, that's allowed us and given us confidence to open some of the things up, to come out and throw a pass on the first play of the game, anticipating they'd be geared up for a run, you know, and to get that big explosion play to Jay Reed, I thought really set us off.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain but could return this week. Next up, the Packers play the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. The Brewers made an impressive comeback, its largest in 20 years, by rallying from down 8-0 in the third inning to win 10-9 over Arizona on Sunday. Next up, three games on the road in Pittsburgh before finishing the regular season with the Mets at home. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear this evening, increasing clouds overnight. Cool lows in the mid-40s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs in the low 70s. Mostly sunny Wednesday, high into the mid-70s. And sunshine continues into Thursday, highs upper 70s. Currently at 68.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I will start the show and then pass the hosting baton to my friend and ongoing contributor, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. It will be spectacular. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Appreciate you tuning in. Phone lines 855-752-4842. Super happy to bring on a new guest for the hour, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's own political editor. Dan, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Always great to chat.
I appreciate it, man. It's been too long. I've had you on my mind. I've seen all the hard work you've been doing, the recombobulation now folded into Civic Media. Dan, now the political editor here as well. And you've been doing, I love it when other people do the legwork, Dan, doing all the hard work, breaking down what's going on here in the state of Wisconsin. As one of the pieces you put out recently, Dan, new board, new game. Like, we got a chance here. The Dems actually have a chance to make some headway here in the state of Wisconsin. I was reviewing some of the data, Dan, and it's looking pretty good. How do you want to break it down? You have several categories in which you say you identify different districts being, very safe or maybe not so safe, both on the Republican side, on the Democratic side. Where do you see the most likely pickups? Let's start there with the good news, bad news. Most likely pickups, in your opinion, in the state of Wisconsin Assembly, Dan.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's a brand new game for the Wisconsin State Legislature, and that is because finally we have new fairer maps for the state.
Woo-hoo!
We've been under the thumb of this. Yeah, that's right. Celebrate it up. So we've been under the thumb of this ridiculous partisan gerrymander in the state of Wisconsin for more than a decade that has really cemented Republican control of the Wisconsin State Legislature and made it virtually impossible for Democrats to even win a simple majority. Republicans had a better chance to get a 2/3 supermajority than Democrats had of getting a simple majority here in this 50-50 purple state where elections are often decided by just fractions of a point. So this is a very, very different dynamic than what we have seen in quite some time. These maps really, I think, much better reflect how the political geography of the state of Wisconsin really is organized.
Yeah.
It's going to come down to a number of toss-up seats. Now, first in the Senate, only half of the Senate is up this year.
Right.
So the senators who will remain in the Senate lean 12-5 in favor of Republicans. So the odds of Democrats winning control of the Wisconsin State Senate this year are very slim, but they do need to pick up several key seats in order to put the majority in the Senate in play in 2026. I've circled three as toss-up seats, and I think there are going to be five pretty competitive races in the Wisconsin State Senate. There are five that Republicans are not even competing in. Many of the districts in Milwaukee and Madison, and also one in Kenosha and Racine counties, Republicans don't even have a candidate running. So that brings your total to 12-10. But then I think there are five closely competitive ones and three toss-up seats. So the three toss-ups in the Wisconsin State Senate start with District 8. That is in the North Milwaukee area suburbs and the North Shore, Ozaukee County. That is the race where we have Republican Dewey Strobel running against Democrat Jody Habersynekin. Now, Habersynekin ran in a special election a year ago and almost won against Republican Dan Knodel. She lost by less than 2%, but that was a much more Republican-leaning district at the time.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see if she can run and win in this district, you know, in a general election environment against Dewey Strobel, who has represented a district that looks much different in the past.
Yeah.
He lives in Saukville in Ozaukee County, but his previous district went stretched from Ozaukee County all the way to the eastern shores of Lake Winnebago. Explain that. Well, how that one makes sense.
Right.
In a previous map.
Dan, I recall, if I may, that last, Habersh actually got pretty close, as mentioned. Closer than I think a lot of people thought she would. And do you recall what the money situation was back then? If she had more resources, would that have been a more competitive race, even in the old gerrymandered districts, do you recall?
Yeah, I know she's been a pretty good fundraiser, so yeah. It was pretty close. But I think I think Republicans may have still had a bit of an advantage in that seat. But that was at the same time as the Wisconsin Supreme Court election for Janet Protasiewicz, and we saw that the top of the ticket was really pushing the numbers there. And
yeah.
So I think there's a lot of communities within this district that have moved really significantly in favor of Democrats in really important ways. And one of those is let's take the city of Whitefish Bay as an example. In the 2012 gubernatorial election, Whitefish Bay was basically a 50-50 city. 2 years ago, when Tony Evers won re-election, he won 70% of the vote.
Wow.
In Whitefish Bay. So that community has really changed a lot in its political makeup over the past decade. And this is a district that I think Habersynekin could win. But again, it's a swing seat. This is a district that was won by Tony Evers and Ron Johnson in 2022.
Strange bedfellows, Dan.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is a true toss-up. The other two toss-ups, one is in the Green Bay area. Green Bay is going to have a big say on where things go in the state legislature this year. Democrat Jamie Wall has been a really strong fundraiser there thus far. And on the Republican side, this is kind of interesting. So three Republican senators were actually drawn into this district, but none of them are actually running here. So Jim Rafter, who is the president of Alloway in Brown County, a village president there in Brown County, he's going to be the one running, and incumbent Eric Wimberger is actually moving to the second district for a much more clear path to remain in the state.
Oh, interesting.
So he didn't want the competitive race, even as an incumbent. So he went to the second district. That's much more Republican leaning. So that's going to be a really important one to watch. And then I think the third really key race in the Senate is with Democrat Sarah Kieski. And this is a district just north of Dane County, actually includes kind of the northern edge of Dane County there in the city of DeForest. But this will include places like Baraboo, Richland Center, Wisconsin Dells, Lodi, a number of places there. And yeah. I think this is going to be a race that I think abortion is going to be a really big issue in, because incumbent Republican Joan Baalweg, she'll take a few votes that are a little bit more moderate than some of the other far right wingers in the Wisconsin State Senate. But when it comes to the issue of abortions, she said she's against the exceptions for rape and incest. And no surprise that the first ad in this race from the Kieski campaign was on abortion rights and about protecting those rights. So I think that is going to be an especially important issue in that race there. So District 8, District 14, and District 30 are what I've identified as the three key races in the Wisconsin State Senate.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, joining me via the stream. On those Senate districts, Dan, obviously after the gerrymandering and the new maps have been put out there, did all these move, in your opinion, more to the left? Like, how would you describe the new maps as compared to the old maps?
Yeah, the old maps were so far tilted to Republicans' favor, you couldn't even really push it any further. They kind of tried to after the 2020 census, where they you know, made the most gerrymandered maps in the country even more gerrymandered, especially in some swing districts around the Milwaukee County suburbs. But yeah, this is going to be much closer to the type of 50-50 makeup that we see in basically every other statewide election.
Dan, is it safe to assume that with these new maps, every district is quote unquote more fair? I mean, is there anything that leaned after the new maps more to the right?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a district or two here and there that do lean more to the right. But I think, you know, the overall big picture makeup will show, you know, that in the assembly, just as an example, you know, there are 99 seats there. And for the last decade plus under the gerrymander, Republicans have had 60 or more seats. I don't think there's any chance they get to 60 seats this year under these maps. I think we're going to get much closer to the type of 50-50 map that we, you know, kind of expect in Wisconsin at large, right?
That'd be nice. All right. So, what about the assembly then? How is that breaking down? And if you got time, we'll keep you another segment if you have time, Dan. Otherwise, we can wrap it up in 3 minutes. But what are you looking for here in the assembly races?
Yeah, I can stick around for another segment if you want to keep talking. But I think that the there are 8 assembly races that I have in the toss-up category. And I've done this preview at the recombobulation area the last couple election cycles. And there are a lot more closely competitive races in this year's map than there have in the past. Because basically what the previous maps had done is make it a lot of safe Democratic districts and a lot of safe Republican districts and not that many competitive ones in the middle. Well, now we have a few more competitive ones in the middle. There are 12 that I think could be decided by single digits. And then 8 of those that I have as true toss-ups. So perhaps after the break, we can get into some of those 8 districts. But I think by and large, it reflects what you think of as the kind of swing regions in the state of Wisconsin. You have a few districts in the Milwaukee area suburbs. You have a few districts in the Fox Valley and Green Bay area. And you have a few districts in western Wisconsin, especially in clusters around La Crosse and Eau Claire. Now, when you look at the map generally in Wisconsin, those are the places that you think of as kind of the most purple areas,
right?
those Evers-Johnson seats that you can see. And so I think there it's really interesting to see, you know, how some of these candidates are going to really matter and how some of the finances are really going to matter in a lot of these races and just the overall ground game. Because I think there are a lot of these places across the state that have not had competitive assembly elections for more than a decade because the state has been so gerrymandered. So we have a number of places that are going to have competitive elections in their communities for the first time in nearly a generation.
What a concept. I so look forward to that. Yeah, you mentioned in this last 60 seconds here, Dan, you mentioned that the Dems are fielding like 5 state senatorial seats that are being competed against with Republicans. How about the other way? Are the Republicans, do they have a lot or how many do they have? I know that the Dem party has been really good at getting some candidates out and about. How many Republicans are running unopposed, do you know right now, Dan?
There's only 2 Republicans of the 99 seats in the assembly who are running unopposed. So Democrats have a candidate in every state Senate race and all but 2 in the assembly. So Democrats really did a terrific job with candidate recruitment running everywhere in this once in a generation election.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, coming back on a dive into the assembly seats. Stick around, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The Ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
93.5 The Tap.
I get up in the evening and I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Dan Schaefer sticking around for another segment. He is a journalist from Milwaukee. He writes and publishes the Recombobulation Area. This year, he became the political editor of Civic Media. Got quite a background here, man. I'm gonna fluff you up a little bit here, Dan. He wrote for the New York Times, the Daily Beast, Heartland Signal, Belt Magazine, Wisp Politics, Milwaukee Record. Previously worked at Seattle Magazine, Seattle Business Magazine, the Milwaukee Business Journal, Milwaukee Magazine, Biz Times, Milwaukee's One, 18 Milwaukee Press Club Excellence and Journalism Awards. Find him on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer and on the Dom Salvia Show. Dan, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming around, man. The new maps, new board, new game here in the state of Wisconsin. Went through the Senate. Let's talk about the Assembly. I believe you said there's about eight that you think we're looking good for the Dems. Let's get to it.
Yeah, first, let's zoom out just for a second and look big picture here, because I think the Assembly is really where the opportunity for change really lies. We talked about in the Senate how only half of the Senate is up this year because they're on four-year terms. The Assembly is two-year terms. So every member of the 99-seat State Assembly is up for re-election this
every
year.
2 years, everyone in the Assembly, they run again.
That's right. We have an opportunity to really start fresh here. And so the big picture is that Democrats do have a chance to flip the state assembly for the first time
in
a generation.
I don't know if I believe you, Dan. Say that again, will you please?
Look, I know it can be a little discombobulating, Dom. But the Democrats have a chance to flip the state assembly.
Wow.
And make Greta Neubauer the assembly speaker and make Robin Voss the minority leader.
Oh, please tell me more, Dan.
Yes. So I think it is going to come down to toss up seats. And I kind of went through district by district. You can see this breakdown at Civic Media's Wisconsin State Legislature voter guide. You can punch in your address, your zip code and everything to find what race is in your community. But I've identified a certain number of safe districts for Republicans, safe districts for Democrats. There are a number of races uncontested, and then there are the close and toss-up seats. So basically, you get to about 46 seats that are likely to be Republican. You have 41 seats that are likely to be for Democrats, and then you have those toss-ups. So let's get into the toss-ups. And this is what's going to determine the outcome, really. So I have eight toss-ups. First one on the list is District 21, Democrat David Marstellar against Republican Jesse Rodriguez. Rodriguez is the incumbent here. And for as far as Republican candidates go, She's one of the more sane ones in the Wisconsin Assembly.
Yeah.
And she has actually outrun the top of the ticket on a number of occasions. So the math of this district, the partisan makeup suggests that this is one that Democrats could flip. It's a Democrat plus eight districts. It's one that both Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers won in 2022. But because incumbency is such a huge factor in these elections, and because name recognition is a big factor, I put this one into the toss-up category. You know, the Democrat running here is more of a political newcomer, and Rodriguez is pretty well known.
Yeah.
So even though this looks like a pickup opportunity for Democrats, I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on this one because I think Rodriguez is a good candidate for Republicans. Now, this one is in Milwaukee County, and the Milwaukee County suburbs have been shifting in favor of Democrats in pretty significant ways. So definitely a pickup opportunity for Democrats there. Another really important one, and this is one of the top examples of how the state has been gerrymandered in years past, is District 26, which is in the Sheboygan area. Now, the city of Sheboygan, under previous maps, had a line drawn right down the middle of it, splitting the city, you know, a purple city in Wisconsin, about 45,000 people, into two red districts. So the Democrats were really denied representation in Sheboygan for a long time. Now all of Sheboygan is contained within one district, and now it is going to be a toss-up. Democrat Joe Sheehan is the candidate there. He was the superintendent of the Sheboygan Area School District for more than 15 years and is pretty well known in that area. He looks like a really strong candidate. He's running against Republican incumbent Amy Binsfeld. She was part of a group of Republican legislators last session who introduced a bill that would have eliminated work permits for 14 and 15 year olds last session.
So get those kids working. Those little
workforce crisis was more child labor, I guess.
They have
the children yearn for the mines.
The nimble fingers are great on the weave, Dan.
That's right. So I think that's a real pickup opportunity for Democrats as well. And I think, you know, another kind of way that these new maps are helping Republicans actually in certain ways is that they're not recruiting off the deep end candidates. We've seen so many of these election denier extremist type of candidates in recent years. Well, here's one example where they got somebody with some experience. So in District 53, which is in the Fox Valley, that includes Nina and Menasha and parts of Oshkosh and Appleton. Dean Coffert is the Republican recruit candidate there. And he has a lot of experience. He was the mayor of Nina for a decade. He served in the assembly for a long time. He was actually one of the only Republicans to vote against Act 10 when he was in the legislature at that time, too. And so, you know, again, this is another example of where the math says this is a Democratic leaning seat. Yes, the Fox Valley is a more Democratic leaning area than you might realize. But Coffert is a really strong candidate there. So I put that one in the toss up category as well. So that, you know, it, you can take a look through this guide, look at all of these different races. Again, there's a few more that I'll just go through quickly. District 31, Lou Ann Bird is the Democrat going against Bob Donovan there. That's going to be an important race. Yiling Zhang in Wausau against Republican Patrick Snyder. That's seen as kind of the tipping point race in the state assembly. There's two seats in the Green Bay, Brown County area that are going to be really important. So again, many of these swingy areas around the state are going to decide the election. What a concept, right?
That's how it's supposed to be. Thank you, Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area. He's the founder thereof and, of course, the political editor at Civic Media. Dan, thank you for the rundown. Looking forward to having these discussions with you more in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dan. 855-752-4842. Go to civicmedia.us. Search for the voter guide. Find all that information right there. Come back with us. Your call's next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsin's campuses are coming off modest general aid increases from the legislature. Layla Merrifield, president of the Wisconsin Technical Colleges System, says they'll be requesting more funding in the next budget cycle.
We understand that our students often come from limited means. They have limited financial resources, and so we try to keep tuition as low as possible.
Merrifield says the programs technical schools offer can be expensive to maintain, but affordability needs to remain a priority. And divers have found a treasure in Lake Michigan, a steam tug that sank almost 130 years ago. Two historians from the Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association set out to search Lake Michigan for it. They are far from the first. And after reviewing some historical records, they started near Algoma, and they were right. They found the John Evenson, which sunk in 1895. In 2023, 13 shipwrecks were found in Wisconsin waters. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Bloomer High School student was seriously injured on Friday morning when the tractor the student was driving to school was rear-ended by another vehicle. According to Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes, the student was flown to the hospital following the crash on Highway 40 in the town of Cooks Valley. Sheriff Hakes is also reminding residents to keep an eye out for more agricultural equipment like tractors on the road at this time of the year, as those vehicles generally operate at low speeds and sometimes stop abruptly. Health officials are warning Wisconsin residents of a significant increase in cases of whooping cough. According to the Department of Health Services, there have already been over 600 confirmed cases of whooping cough this year through September 13th, as opposed to just 51 confirmed cases in all of 2023. Well over half of the counties in Wisconsin have reported at least one case this year. Officials are recommending that parents make sure their children are up to date on their whooping cough vaccines. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sabrina Carpenter is on a bit of a roll following her win for Song of the Year at this year's Video Music Awards. So what's next? How about a Christmas special? A nonsense Christmas special. Yes, that's the title. We'll feature musical guests and comedy with a dash of celebrity cameos. Carpenter says the special will really jingle your bells, and it will drop December 6th at 9 p.m. Eastern on Netflix. A few nights ago, country star Zach Bryan got a little sauced and took a shot at Taylor Swift on X-Twitter. The Swifties performed a Twitter takedown on Bryan until he went into X-Twitter witness protection and deactivated his account. Bryan took to Instagram, where the Swifties are still allowing him to function. He offered an apology, saying he is going through a hard time, appreciates all Taylor has done for music, and never wants to show malice toward another human being. He closed the post with "Don't drink and tweet," and then was ordered back to the corner by the Swift Army, where he continued sucking his thumb. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clear this evening, increasing clouds overnight. Cool lows in the mid-40s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, highs in the low 70s. Mostly sunny Wednesday, high into the mid-70s. And sunshine continues into Thursday, highs upper 70s. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had, again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we talked to Julie Lassa with more ways that the Biden-Harris administration has been investing in Wisconsin's smaller towns and the rural economy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842. Happy birthday, Bruce Springsteen, the boss, turning 75 today. Thank you, Jess, for putting up with me playing all sort of Bruce from over the years.
Oh, there's nothing to put up with.
Oh, man, all my rock stars are getting old. I want to thank our last rock star, Dan Schaefer. He's the political editor at Civic Media, a founder of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about this 2024 Wisconsin Legislature voter guide. Folks, it's super cool. I was checking it out before Dan came on. So go to civicmedia.us/voter-guide. Just go to civicmedia.us. You can find the voter guide there. And it gives you a breakdown of the things that Dan and I were talking about, the state Senate races, the assembly races, the breakdown. Check it out. A lot of hard work, a lot of smart, talented people doing a lot of the hard work, so I don't have to.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Civic Media, for that. We do have some updates on the Trump campaign we'll get to eventually, I'm sure, as well as the vice president here in the great state of Wisconsin in Madison over the weekend. But let's get to some callers. Jim from Brookfield, you are next. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hello, Dom. Great show. Great music. You can't go wrong with the boss. And great.
See?
Dan, yeah, you cannot go wrong with the boss.
Thanks, man.
Happy birthday to Bruce.
Yeah, real.
Anyway, Dan, great guest as well. Dan explained things very well with the new map. It's great things are fair, and it's great that Democrats have a chance in a generation to get some power back. However, I just want to point out, I hope that the Democrats are not disappointed, because it should be duly noted that Governor Evers and the Democrats, they fought for and got 50-50 maps. When Mr. Scott Walker was elected, the first thing he said was go big. They did. It was extreme, one of the most extreme in the country. So once again, the Democrats, as the Republicans go low, the Democrats go high, as Michelle Obama said in 2016. That didn't work out too well for Hillary Clinton, obviously. I just hope that, we're not setting ourselves up for too much of a disappointment, although the fact that it's going to be close, and as Dan pointed out, it's not going to have these extreme far, far right candidates, so that's a win. But I just, really hope that eventually, Mr. Voss, his time has expired. Get somebody else in there and have the state go in a more fair and general direction.
Jim, I'm absolutely down with you. I don't, as far as the setting yourself up for disappointment, Carville said it, you got to win first, right? So regardless of how ambitious they might get, even because they're not going to get the Senate this year, most likely, as we've talked about with Dan, there is a possibility for the assembly. So they're not going to have, at least in this cycle, and perhaps they can set themselves up in 2026. Certainly there's an effort towards that. And I actually look forward to seeing what kind of legislation, what kind of policies that they will put forward if they ever get the kinds of majorities that the Republicans did. I'm less worried about them overreaching perhaps than the way that the Republicans overreached. And ultimately the tell will be, Jim, how the voters react. Let me ask you this, as far as like a policy is concerned, and we know, the Republicans overreached with perhaps Act 10 and the gerrymander. Let's put those two. What would you like to see a majority legislature, Democratic majority in the legislature enact as something that you would support, Jim? And then beyond that, what do you think is something that would be quote unquote too extreme?
I think more funding for public schools. I think we've done the voucher thing, the private schools. We funded two school systems in the state for far too long.
Yeah.
So, get back to some education. Our universities, they used to be some of the top of the country. Now we're like 43rd in funding for our universities. The UW system used to be great. MATC, MSOE, those were all, help funded by the state. That's where I want my tax dollars to go.
Yeah.
As far as where the Democrats would go too extreme, that's hard to say. I guess anything you know, because it's so toxic, anything to give, you know, illegal people that are undocumented maybe too many rights. I don't know. I think they should. They sure helped pull us through the pandemic, working the meat plants. If it weren't for them,
right,
during the pandemic shutdown, we all would have starved. But maybe just coming across as too soft on, undocumented workers. Maybe that could be something they would push too far. That could be used against them in future elections, which we're seeing every day, 24/7 on the TV right now.
Right.
Too soft on undocumented workers. But where I really hope they can even tip the scales or balance the scales rather is funding our tax dollars going for a strong educational system.
Yeah. Yeah.
For both public schools and the universities, because you judge the society by how well your public schools educate the next generation that you're going to pass the torch to, and they're going to take care of us as we get older.
Don't count on it, Jim. Depends what we leave them, man. Thanks for the call, man. Certainly appreciate it. 855-752-4842. A couple of notes. This funding for education. I think Jim has a great point. And one of the things we should be judged on is how we fund and how well we fund our education. Above and beyond that, how do we take care of our seniors? How do we take care of the poor among us? How do we take care of folks with disabilities and challenges? You know, those are the things I think that a society should be able to look in the mirror and want to do good on those spots. And yes, those things, they can cost money. Everything costs money and nothing's free. It's not like, you know, the government's all free of this. No, everybody recognizes the government is funded through tax dollars, and tax dollars come from us citizens. We get that. This is not about, you know, just opening up the spigot and giving away free money. These are targeted things to make sure that, you know, those among us, we want to be judged by taking care of the elderly, taking care of the poor and so forth. Those are very important things. Taking care of the educational system as well. The Republicans have lambasted our education system here in the state of Wisconsin. And the voucher thing, folks, you know, it's hard enough as it is to fund one school system. And when you have an unfunded mandate from the Republicans via the voucher system, it makes it very difficult. And I would like to see some strong arming from the Dems in this regard. As a policy point, I don't want to see public funding of Catholic, religious education. I think that's terrible. I think it's exactly what this country should be against. And I don't give a damn what the religion is. There should not be any public funding towards a religious education. Call it indoctrination. Call it what you will. But I don't think we should have our tax dollars going towards that. My opinion on that is we've seen the religious, let's call it tithing, people interested in religion falling year after year after year. And as a business proposition, it's my estimation that the revenue generated by the tithing and other things for religious organizations who don't pay property taxes, by the way, there are some big, beautiful churches. We talked about Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin, as being one of the kind of a purple area. It might help Jody Habish Sinekin overcome Dewey Strobel. Well, up until February of this year, I lived in Whitefish Bay for almost 20 years. And they got some big, beautiful churches in Whitefish Bay that pay zero property taxes. Zero. I'm not like an entire city, big city block, not like a little city block, entire big city block for one Catholic school, church, and so forth. No property taxes. So if the business model is drying up because people aren't buying what you're selling, then it seems to me over the last couple of decades, they've been trying to find other streams of revenue, which, of course, is a capitalist country. But, you know, these, again, are religious organizations that don't pay property taxes that are now getting a tap into the public trough of all things. I thought you Republicans weren't down for that.
When it suits other people.
Well, and they don't have the same requirements, the same education requirements. They don't have to take all the challenging students. They can pick and choose as they would. And as a product of a public school up until, well, I guess, eighth grade, and then a private school for my high school years, my parents went to pocket and paid for that education. Now, I don't want to go there, man. I want to stay at Hortonville with my friends, you know. I want to go to Xavier. I want to stay with my friends. So that was their decision. And the education was fine. I got, you know, I didn't have to take the religion class because I was kind of out of it. You know what I mean? I didn't believe it. You know, when someone says, hey, Dom, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's one God. I'm like, you just named three things. It doesn't make any sense to me. And ultimately, the answer was, well, it's a matter of faith. And I just don't have it, didn't have it, won't have it. That's fine. I'm okay with who I am and where I'm at. But if you're going to tell me you want to take my tax dollars and use that to fund a religious organization, regardless of what it is, and then those schools, they mandate religion classes. Now, you talk about indoctrination. When you tell a 10-year-old kid, a 8-year-old kid, whatever, that if they don't believe in these very specific set of principles and rules, that they're going to burn in damnation for eternity, I think that's something that I don't want my tax dollars going towards. Now, if you want to do that, folks, like my parents did, and go to pocket and fund that and give them that education, maybe there's some upside to it beyond the religion classes, sure. I my teachers cared. I think a lot of teachers care. I don't know if there's anything specifically special, but you know, I went to school there. I graduated, went up going to college. Hell, I even went to grad school. So the education was fine. I have no problem with that. And people want to spend their good money on a private education because you don't want your kids going to quote unquote public schools where perhaps the riffraff are going to teach you some of that woke stuff. Oh, okay. I mean, that's your choice, but you shouldn't get a break for it. You know, I shouldn't have to subsidize beyond already the subsidization of the property taxes, beyond the subsidization of the school tuition as well. Why is that appropriate in any way, shape, or form? And if these Republicans were, if it was for a religious school that perhaps wasn't a Christian school, would they have more of a problem with that? Maybe. Remember, it's all Sharia law. We don't want Sharia law. But apparently canon law is okay. But I'm not knocking religion per se. I'm just saying that these organizations that are already getting the benefit of a tax policy that most organizations don't even get me started on the Milwaukee Archdiocese and the raping of children and all of that, because that's gross and weird and covered up. And, you know, there's lots of problems here. Let's just say that. And there's difficulties in public school as well. But you're not doing anyone any favors when you're pulling the money out and steering it to religious, quote unquote, education that would indoctrinate kids to my perception of what you tell them they have to believe or they burn for eternity, and then turn around and then get mad at the public schools for not doing a good enough job when you're taking, you know, the cream off the crop. You're not forced to deal with the special needs kids or the difficulties of growing up in an area that is not like some of these suburbs. Let's just put it that way. You know, there's a lot of real challenges in this world. Kids going, you know, waking up with difficult households and going to school hungry. Oh, don't feed the kids. Well, it's socialism. Well, yeah, you got to feed the kids. I mean, come on. Paul Ryan said, well, you know, made up a story when he was running. He was Speaker of the House at one point. Paul Ryan from the state of Wisconsin. Talk about how kids would rather have a empty belly and a full soul, so they wouldn't.
Absolutely not.
Oh no, of course not, man. Kids want to eat.
Hierarchy of needs. And feed first.
And what they don't want is have to, you know, stand up and say, oh yeah, you're late on your payment for your school meals. And or give you a different color card because, you know, you're the ones that subsidized. Folks, yes, no doubt. We need to, as a society, take care of education system and what we're doing right now and how we're leveraging the money and splitting that money off to other areas, I think is wholly inappropriate. Folks want that for their kids. They can do it like my parents did and pay for it themselves. Damn. 855-752-4842. Come back with more of your phone calls.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace,
You might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about tariffs. We keep hearing this economic term bandied around, and politicians who are talking up tariffs want us to think that it's a good idea to put fees on foreign goods. It's going to, like, protect American businesses and consumers. Turns out, that's not always the case. We can't tax companies that are overseas, so we end up taxing the mostly American-owned and run companies that are just bringing goods in from around the world. So if tariffs go up by 20%, history and studies show that those companies are going to pass those extra costs right on to me and you. I don't know about you. While prices are coming down, I can't afford to pay 20% more for what I'm buying. So next time you hear some politician talking about tariffs, just remember, the ones being proposed are a tax on Americans being paid by Americans. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show, Jess, on the boards, on the tunes. Thank you, Jess, 855-752-4842. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. It's a talk line. It's a text line. I got a couple of texts coming in. Tom from New Berlin. Dom, also nuns getting pregnant. I mean, oh, yeah, that'll happen. Cam from Appleton. I want to see Dom on Adderall. I don't know if that's a great idea, man.
I'm not sure if it would focus you or just, you know.
I think it was run through the walls over here. 855-752-4842. Who's your Bob? You are on the line. Welcome, Bob. What do you got for us?
Hello, Dominic. How are you?
I'm good, Bob. How you doing, man?
I'm fine. I wanted to call first off. Right out of the gate and say congratulations.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. Second off, and I don't know if I'm walking on eggshells here. Your former partner, he and I were having a discussion last time I spoke with him about President Biden jumping out of the race and bringing in Kamala, and he was a proponent of it. Mm-hmm. I disagreed with him, but I did, at the end of the conversation, go, okay, I trust your knowledge better than mine, so I'll back that play. And it turns out he was right. And I just wanted to say that out loud, you know.
Yeah.
Air my dirty lungs there.
No problem, Bob. We appreciate you doing so. Yeah, that was the right call. And you know, I took the other side of that, you know, as the opposite approach, saying I'm going to vote for Joe Biden no matter what. Not that he wouldn't either, but you know, I was always saying it was the weekend that Bernie's vote. If you know, if he's up there, if he's already dead, if he's a zombie, someone's pulling the strings and lifting his hand to wave to the crowd. That's who I'm voting for over the insurrectionist bastard all day, every day, twice on Sunday. And, you know, there's a lot of folks, especially after that debate, Bob, gave a lot of heat because of that position, right? Our pal Matt Flynn, you know, he was big on to Biden way back in the day, even before the first time he got elected, thought that was crazy talk. But it ended up being, man, working out. At least that's how it worked out now. Bob, do you think that the Democratic Party is in a better position now that it happened than if it didn't?
Yes. Yes. Much better.
It's
night and day. It's night and day.
Well, the energy, Bob, you know what I'm saying? I mean, after that DNC and the crowd and even, I mean, she was just here in Madison, dude, like 10,000 people at the Alliant Energy Center on a Friday, dude.
I mean, I know.
Just tearing it up, Bob.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, when I'm wrong, I'm real wrong. So, you know.
I mean, you know, Bob, thanks for the call, man. You know, it's wrong or right. You know, sometimes we'll lay a card out there and just, you know, talk some trash and see what happens. I certainly wasn't wrong for folks to think that after that debate that perhaps Joe Biden needed to drop out. I think a lot of folks felt that way. And some folks didn't. You know, some folks were very, very supportive of the former president. And I get that as well. But, you know, as we look now past that and you know, come on, what do we got? 40 some days left. I mean, hell, 6 weeks from tomorrow, I believe, right? So 42 days tomorrow. Look back over the last 2 months and then project forward here in the next 6 weeks. Where are the trend line? What do you think is going to happen? Where's the money at? Where's the energy at? It's certainly all with the Dems. You know, the polling is certainly trending better. You know, today you had some, or over the weekend, perhaps today or yesterday, some conflicting polling, perhaps from NBC and the New York Times. You know, who do you trust more on the economy? Who do you trust more on this and that? I think a lot of folks are still making up their mind, and the vice president is still getting to know some folks. I know it seems strange, but there's some people that are just slowly starting now to turn into the politics. And certainly when they hear Kamala Harris speak here in the state, in Madison anyway, they're very excited. We got a few cuts from that, Jess?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do a little bit here. Let's start with cut number 3.2. Here is Kamala Harris in Madison.
Teamsters Joint Council 39, I am so honored and grateful for your endorsement. I will work so closely with you, as we always have, and we will win. And we will win.
Listen to that crowd.
And we will win.
There was a Kamala Harris in Madison. Show note, tomorrow, Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 39, going to join me on the air. We're going to talk about that endorsement of the vice president.
Right on.
Yeah. Bill's a good cat. Saw him over at the Bayview Bash. I look forward to catching up with Bill. A couple more from the vice president in Madtown. Cut three, please.
Thanks to the mayor, because the last time I was in Madison, we went to the house where I lived when I was 5 years old here in Madison. So many of you know, my sister Maya's here, so our parents taught at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and so we lived
here
for a period of time. So every time I land, the governor says, welcome home.
I mean, playing to the crowd. Thank you, Detroit. At least she knows what town she's in. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Appreciate you hanging out with us today. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at UWGB, Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's own political editor. As mentioned, Bill Carroll, President, Teamsters Joint Council 39 tomorrow, and Ben Wickler from the WIS Dems.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kristen Wolf returns from Democrats Abroad. If you live overseas, your vote counts too. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Make a difference in your community today. Find the perfect volunteering opportunity for you at volunteerwisconsin.org or by getting in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center. There are so many ways to get involved and make an impact. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere.